You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
Welcome to the Scum and Villainy Podcast. I'm your host, Richard White, better known as Kelvin Tiberius. Joining me today is Blair Bunky, better known as Scruffy, ship's janitor. What is up, Blair?
Hello.
Also joining us today is Tyler Tippett, better known as Starslinger 72, ship's cook. What's up, Tyler?
How are we doing? How on up?
Finally, I guess, joining us today is Will Barnacle, the ship's designated drowner, better known as misspelled Will Barnacle. What's up, Will?
What's going on, everybody?
Man, I just want to say that we've kind of been listless without you driving us around everywhere, so I'm really happy you're back.
Well, somebody's got to do this work, and you guys get kind of sloppy sometimes, and I gotta, you know, spray down the ship and all that type of stuff. And that sometimes that's the stuff I don't want to have to do. So I gotta let you
some time off. Do we offer healthcare on this ship? I don't know how this works. Like, that's clearly vacation.
Yeah, well, my vacation was spent, you know, moving houses and whatnot, so not really a vacation.
Yeah, you moved, right?
Yep. Yeah, not too far away, but still moving is annoying.
Yeah. Either way, any time, it just takes forever. It's annoying. Did you pay for people or did you do it yourself?
A combination of both. moving truck guys were interesting. I had a new guy on the truck, and so that was annoying, having to, like, watch him, you know, load stuff and pack stuff and weird things with that going on. But I survived.
Time is money. Come on, man. All right. So one thing you guys were able to do, Blair and I, sadly, were unable to go to Gen Con like you lucky bastards. But you were able to go. And I always like talking about Gen Con, not only for the X-Wing, which we're absolutely going to get into, but every year I feel like I want to go. And so I need you to hype me up on the stuff you guys did at Gen Con. So let's jump into it. Let's talk about, do you want to talk about the stuff you did at Gen Con first? Or do you want to talk about the tournament first? Actually, I have no idea. I just wrote down Gen Con, and sometimes when I'm not decisive, we're not necessarily sure how we're going to go here. So do you guys want to do what you talked about, or do you want to do the tournament itself?
Oh, it doesn't matter to me. We can start with other stuff that is non-X-Wing related, so we can keep all the X-Wing stuff in a spot, and then people can, you know, like, skip ahead if they don't care about, you know, actual fun things and want to, for some reason, listen about X-Wing crap.
All right, Tyler, perfect transition, because you're the type of guy that you're going to Gen Con every year regardless of X-Wing.
Yeah, I've been, this was like 8 years, I think, maybe nine, something like that.
So what did you do at Gen Con this year?
So it's weird because they shifted X-Wing, right? So it's been like a half a decade that I've played X-Wing on Thursday at Gen Con. Right. Okay. Like, the Thursday is always is X-Wing. Friday is always vendor hall. And then Saturday is always X-Wing second. And then Saturday night is party. And Sunday is, you know, like, clean up, do whatever. Right. That's the normal day. So this year I'm short on vacation because the whole, like, Poland trip, which we'll get into later. And so we didn't go early on Wednesday. We went, like, after work on Wednesday. And so we got over there later, so we didn't get our badges until, like, what, like, almost 11 o'clock or something like that, Will?
11:30, something like that.
Yeah, so, like, so finished
you guys,
there.
So you guys went together, so you brought
Yeah. We always ride together. it's Will, me, my dad, and then our buddy Tim is in, we get a hotel room every year, so.
Cool.
Yep, so we drive over. So got our badges. Did we do anything Wednesday night?
No, find the hotel.
Yeah.
That was,
and we just kind of passed out. We didn't do anything. Nothing fancy Wednesday night. So then Thursday, we have a Thursday. We can do stuff, right? So mm-hmm. that's like crazy. So we basically decided we wanted to just like kind of relax, not fight the Gen Con horde lines, because normally you want to get there early on the first day so you can get into the vendor hall and get in line early so you can get whatever the super swag is, right? But the only thing we thought was going to be there was going to be the prequels Legion. So droids and the clone troopers, right? And neither Will or I wanted a core set immediately. Like, I'll get one eventually, but it's not a big deal to me, right? And so we were like, hey,
yeah, my whole goal for all of the FFG Star Wars games, specifically the miniatures ones, mm-hmm. is if I'm not interested, I'm just going to wait until the game's over and buy it all up for the minis for some Star Wars FFG stuff.
Dude, I tell you what, like, buy up all the Imperial Assault stuff you can, because the app-driven game is really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's for everybody out there. If you can get a core set and buy some expansions, that's actually like a really fun Descent clone. It's a good time. So anyway, we get there and come to find out they only had 5 core sets for the prequels Legion stuff.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah. That seems like a small amount for Gen Con.
So, it's like comically small. Like, that there
seems like a small amount for a store, or like an average amount for a store.
Right. So they had 5 the first day, 5 the second day, and then on Saturday they randomly got like restocked. So some of our friends were able to like just happen to walk in line and they had some. But there was no way 5 release at Gen Con. So this is the first year Gen Con hasn't had a pre-release for X-Wing. They had the Super Star Destroyer for Armada, but I don't really play Armada, so I don't feel like I need to pay retail for that. I'll pick it up when it's on sale.
But you know you're going to own that eventually.
Oh, 100%.
That's 100% on the I have to have that in my life.
It's an amazing model. Like, worst case, it'll actually go to work with me and sit on my
That's exactly what I'm thinking. Like, what a power move to have, like, the Super Star Destroyer on the desk. Like,
fuck, I got you. So, we just kind of got to explore the vendor hall. Will, you found a game called Parks, right? You want to talk about that?
I picked up Parks. Yeah, Cassie and I have played it a couple times. A lot of fun. Artwork's really cool. Proceeds, like part of the proceeds for the game, go back to like the National Park Association or whatever it's called. And it's just kind of an interesting, fairly simplistic, but there is a lot more like in-depth strategy that you can get into as you're playing it. It's kind of hard to explain, look it up. I'm sure there's lots of YouTube videos and stuff about it now, because it was one of the games that I heard good things about heading to Gen Con.
It's a resource gather worker placement game, so like you're going on a hike, right? Oh, cool. Like, so you have 2 people that are going on hikes, and so it's, you know, you gather resources going on the hikes and then get victory points. So, but it's all the art is from different national parks, and like actually looks pretty cool. They got to use there was like a poster campaign for the art, like, or poster campaign for the parks department, basically.
Yeah, there was some like calendar or poster group or something that did all this amazing artwork for all these different parks, and they used the same type of artwork, or it might be the exact same, you know, art or whatever into the game. So,
yeah, it was the same that was on all the posters. That's what the guy was saying.
That's cool.
Yeah. So the one of the other cool things is when Will got that, they also gave him a free, what was the card game we got?
It was some like promo deck for like a Sherlock Holmes,
kind of
like mystery deck game or whatnot. We did that, late Thursday night or whatever?
It was Thursday or Saturday, one of the two. Yeah, one of the two nights. But it was really fun. So it's basically, you get a deck of cards, and the deck of cards are telling, like the mystery that you're trying to solve. So you have, like, a little bit of information, and then all the cards get handed out to everybody, and you can see all your cards, right? And you can see all the information that's on your cards, but you can only talk about a limited amount of the information that are on them. And then you each go around deciding if you want to play a card or not. And if you play a card in the middle, then everyone can read it. But it's now you have decided that it is pertinent to the case. And if you play a card at the end of the game, it's not actually relevant, then you lose points. And so you're trying to like build this case that's going forward and understand what actually happens. And it was actually, it played really well. Like, it's one of those, you only play each deck once, right? Because then you know the story. But it was definitely a fun, probably 30, 45 minutes
That's cool. I think it was about 45 minutes. Yeah. And I stopped by and asked them if they had more decks, but this was literally just like the pre-release demo deck. And all of the demo decks, they assured me, were the same. So yeah. New ones will be coming out sometime here in the near future, but he wasn't sure exactly when.
Yeah, but it was like, that was definitely a fun, you could do this with people that aren't board game people kind of a thing pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so for sure.
That was a cool game. I bought a bunch of t-shirts. I buy t-shirts there every year, which is always good. There's a couple dice boxes that we got too. They had like a Gen Con specific dice box that was nice. So just kind of relaxed. Didn't have to like do much. And then we went out to the Yard House, right? So we went out to eat with a bunch of X-Wing guys the first night.
Yep. Yeah. And played a Hangar Bay that first day too.
Oh yeah, we played a Hangar Bay. That's right.
That's kind of funny.
Which comes back
managed to squeeze into the next one.
Yeah, yeah. So we played a 3-round Hangar Bay where Will was playing his 5 Kyrexes with Deadman Switch, and of course we get paired in the first round.
Nice.
So he ends up beating me pretty close, right? Like you had 1 Kyrex left or something like that?
I think it was 2. Well, but 2, the yeah. one yeah, one was like pretty low on health, the other one just hit Vader when you were trying to run away.
Yeah, which ended up being very relevant for the next day. And then I played all 3 rounds because I wanted to get the Academy TIE Fighters so that I had 3 of the like Fantasy Flight Art Academy TIE Fighters.
Yeah.
And then we started the actual main event on Saturday or on Friday, and they handed out 3 of the Academy TIE Fighters to all the Empire players. That's and I'm just like, okay, this is all right. I just wouldn't have paid $12 for the others.
You're like, I could have played Shadowrun, man.
Yeah, right. You could have done anything else. So that basically like brings us to Friday. So mm-hmm. Friday was the day 1A of the North American Continental Championship. And there we had what, like 130-ish players?
Okay.
I think that's roughly right. You had to be 7-1 to make it.
6-1.
Or yeah, 6-1. It was 7 games. You had to play 7 games. So it ended up being like what, like 12 hours of X-Wing, 13 hours of X-Wing or something like that.
It was pretty damn long. It was a pretty long day.
Yeah. I sadly finished 5-2. My first loss was against...
Well, you were alive the whole tournament, weren't you?
Oh, no. Yeah, I finished 5-2 on the last shot of the last round, which you can see on Gold Squadron Podcast. At time. Like, at 75 minutes. That's and I was winning the whole game. So, yeah. Like my first loss was against Adam Kempers, who had a cool bombard hyena list with Proxmines and then mm-hmm. some like energy shell vultures and Grievous.
Okay. With,
like crack shot and both title mod thing. And it was a fun game. I just ran out of time. Like I wasn't with the Proxmines, the threat of the Proxmines. It meant
I can see that being uniquely okay versus you, you know?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah. So it was one of those things where, the early game went kind of against me, so there was 2 separate instances of like Vader target lock focus range 1 of a vulture and doesn't kill him, right? And like it lives on 1 hit point.
Just to state for everybody, like it's not a shock for what you flew, but you did fly your
Sense
Vader and Soontir.
Yep, Sense Vader with afterburner, Soontir 3 academies. Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
So like. It was one of those, I didn't kill a vulture and then it escapes on 1 hit point. And then I didn't kill another vulture. I took it to 1 hit point, I think. But it was all of my academies died in 2 rounds of shooting. It was like one died and then the second died and then the third died at the start of the activation when a Proxmine one-shot it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it was one of those, I had both Soontir and Vader. But if either of those vultures had died too, I would have been like even on points and then I could have just taken my time. But since I was down on points, I had to be more aggressive. Because I can only shoot like every third round because I have to bail out. Because, you know, if I try to engage, hey, I get a Proxmine dumped on my face.
Yeah, you're not distracting with the TIE Fighters that you've lost, too.
Well, it's not even distracting in that fight because they were mostly I-1s. Those TIE Fighters mm-hmm. are actually stronger in that mm-hmm. that scrum than the Vultures are, right? Because mm-hmm. I have the full focus, I have the full 3 agility, and I just didn't get up on points with them, which is fine. Adam played a really good game, so then that's actually who beat Will as well, right? Like on stream, it's the same list, so you can see that on stream on game 6.
Yep. Yeah, my easily my worst game of the day.
So, Will, what did you fly?
So not too big of a surprise. 4 X-Wings. After the points update, It did change. Yeah, it did change a little bit. So it was Garvin, Wedge with an R2 Astromech, Biggs, and then Red Squad Vet with Selfless. So thematic Red Squadron from the Battle of Yavin, basically, 1-4. You know, I felt, you know, good with the list, obviously. I felt like I could kind of fly it in my sleep and did fine. My first loss was only by 7 points to regenning Jedi and regenning Rick Ali. So that one was a little bit frustrating because it's like I did the math of how much damage I did over the course of the game, and it was like something like 16, and he did 9 to me, and I lose by 7 points. So that was kind of annoying. But yeah, my second loss, yeah, easily, you know, I've only played droids maybe 2 times, you know, since they came out. And so I was constantly asking Adam to see the dials and, and all sorts of stuff. And yeah, I just did not fly very well. I made the big mistake of, you know, my big kind of early game decision was, okay, Biggs is hurting. Do I try and peel him off to save him and save the gun? Or do I keep everybody in the same formation? Just know Biggs is going to bite it. But then try and get one shot off with Biggs and see what damage he can do, kind of thing. And decided to peel Biggs off, and that was a mistake because Wedge ended up and took too much damage, and then he got Prox Mine to die for free before he could get out and regen. So,
yeah,
that was pretty much how that game went. Then I was knocked out and was playing for prizes after that. But that was round six.
You made it to round six, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, I felt
you
good.
You both did really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll finish top Rebel player, right?
Yep. Yeah, top Rebel player. Into the last round, it was me and Marcel basically looking it out for the template tray. Yeah. And I thought he was going to have me because he had a huge MOV lead on me. But he ended up and got paired up against Ryan Staniszewski. And Ryan ended up and beat him to make cut. And so Marcel got, you know, dipped down below me. And oddly enough, just the way the pairings worked, I was going, you know, against Marcel's girlfriend, Kayla, and that game was not going her way. And so I kind of felt bad that Marcel both lost and I was then, you know, beating his girlfriend for the template tray. So, yeah, just weird quirks of the pairings, that last round for sure.
Yeah, so overall, some pretty decent prizes. So you got the template tray, the
dial covers.
Yeah, the dial covers. Yep. And then like the in the templates.
Yep. Yeah, we both finished top 32 overall combined for both days. So we both got templates. So the template tray was not empty. That would have been
there was a very like because Will was 32, so there was a very real chance that he was top Rebel player, but not top 32 overall.
Yeah, 16 is what I finished on day one. So depending on how the day 1B finished up, if that 17th player was higher MOV than me, that I would have been without templates to fill my template tray, which would have been kind of funny. I think that actually happened to one of the faction prizes from day 1B. Really? I think so. Not exactly sure, so don't quote me on that. But I thought someone mentioned to me that there was one empty template tray going back. But we also got damage decks and ion tokens that FFG has to mail us because they didn't have them there. And a bunch of alt art cards that...
I don't think we're getting any alt art cards.
No, not that they have to mail us, but at least I got a Han one. Maybe that was just for being top Rebel player.
Yeah, if you were top 16, it was your top 32. You got like the faction card. So like I got a Maul of Mythil.
Oh, that's
but
what
it was
from,
if
then.
Like if you were farther than that, you would get the special dial cover and then one of each.
Ah, okay.
Yep. And then I also got the templates, the dial covers. I was second overall Empire player for day one. So that last game, if I get it back, then yeah, because I played against Todd, who was running Poe and 3A, which he's ran for like almost since probably Wave 2 came out.
Yeah, and that list hasn't changed too, like, even though like it went up, it hadn't changed too terribly much. Like,
yeah, you know, his version's a little different.
And the style and how it plays, yeah.
Yep. Like I made a couple mistakes. I still like the way I played the game. I think it was like I engaged. I got a lot of shots. I just didn't get shots to connect. Like that happens. I can't do anything about that.
So let's talk about the cut for do we want to talk? Let's finish this up and we'll finish, you know, Gen Con afterwards. Because I'm thinking about this. Let's talk about the top cut for Gen Con. We don't have to list every single list. I don't have time for that. But I have a question for you guys about Mike Doyle's list. Torkel Mux, Seavor, and then three Cartel Marauders. You tell me ahead of Gen Con that that's going to be your number one MOV, or is on, your number on one rank? Yeah, your number one ranked.
So we had a weird, like, the way the days worked out, right? Okay. So, like, that's just a good stuff scum list, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing wrong, like, bad in that list. I wouldn't say it's,
like, super S-tier, but it doesn't shine out to me like, oh, my God, that's going to beat everything. It's like, well, oh, okay, I can see that, like, maybe making the cut or going two loss, like, if with a good player, right?
Yeah, well no, so, but the trick was on day one, we had way more ace players, especially Republic ace players. Okay. Mm-hmm. So suddenly when you have Anakin run in an initiative kill something because he gets jumped to zero and then smashed by like three Kyrix fighters, mm-hmm. like it's a totally different game, right? And so there was another three dead man switch and Bossk in the YV that went 5-2. Like that was I beat him heavily because I play Will with stupid dead man switches all the time.
You're welcome.
Yeah, which I very legitimately had a point where a one hit point Sunterfell slooped behind a one hit point Kyrix fighter to shoot and kill it that would have hit my academy tie, but my academy had 2 hit points. So I was planning on living with 1 hit point and that being the game. Sunter misses, the Kyrix shoots the academy and does 1 damage. So now my academy can't shoot it because it'll kill everything. And in the game against Will, when he had the 5 dead man switches, my Sunter shot and killed 2 Kyrix fighters, a TIE fighter, and himself all in the same shot.
Yeah, it was like 9 damage, yeah. Like over the course of that one shot. It was pretty cool.
All right, so let's, Tyler, I know that you want to go on a rant on the results at Gen Con, and I kind of feel like I want to give you that platform at this point. So what are your thoughts on the cut?
I mean, so
or in general, just feel free to just kind of go.
So like the top 14, I think it was, right? Is it 14 mm-hmm. or 13, something like that?
14
was pretty diverse, pretty interesting. I think that diversity is largely due to the fact that we had faction specific prizes. So you saw some stuff getting played that might not have been played normally. I don't know as you would see those scum lists show up, like the Torkoal scum list or the there was another scum list that came out of day 2, right?
Cowl Ketsu OT.
Yeah, you might see that one. That's pretty okay. And then I mean we saw a lot of what we'd expect, right? You saw Republic Aces, you saw things like that. One of the things that wasn't surprising to me, because I've been saying it for like over a month now, is the top 2 lists overall had Sense in them, because Sense is basically broken, overpowered, especially when you have a bunch of Republic Aces out there. It's a 3 ace ship list. Oh man, if you can block those things and they don't get their actions, sure, they have Force, but them not boosting away, not triggering all their abilities. Like Obi-Wan is very sad if you block him, right? Like, hey, I can't keep getting Force tokens back. The Empire list had Sense in it. It wasn't Sense centric, if you will, but it definitely like played a part in it. And the Empire list is, I still don't know as I consider it a good Empire list. I think Matt was just really on fire and knows how to play it really well. The two Inquisitors with fire control and concussion missile, the Grand Inquisitor with fire control, concussion and sense, and then Jenden. Like, so it's got all the passive mods and they're really hard to kill when they just move up and evade every turn.
Yeah.
Turns out evade, force, 3 agility is pretty tanky. Who would have guessed? And then the other, like, the third list in the top 4 was Brad flying Kylo and Tabson and a Starkiller. Like, no upgrades. And that also, shockingly, was the best list before the points update, because you had hate on Kylo, and after the points update, without hate on Kylo, it's still really freaking good. So everyone that was, you know, crying that First Order was one of like the bottom tier factions is just honestly not trying at this point, because the other lists that we saw make it through either placing high or making it through to day two were all the SFs, right? So you'd have multiple SFs, Scorch, and then Mark Moriarty, who had the shot to go 7-0 on day one, but was the number one. But yeah, it was basically the number one first order player on both days were two SFs with Gunner, Scorch, and then Chris Allen had Kylo, and Mark had a really thick quick draw. So I think first order's fine. I think they're actually like one of the better lists or better factions out there. Sense is just bonkers good. Like it's way too good for how much it costs. Sense is also really good as a byproduct of the fact that force using ships are just good. Like turns out when there's a resource that you can't take away from them in any way, you can't stress them, you can't bump them, it just is always there. Like that's a very good thing.
Yeah, so Carson Ray's winning list with so it was Anakin, R2 Astromech, Delta, Obi-Wan, Sense, R2A6, and then calibrated laser targeting, and then was it Rick Ollie, right? With Predator R2 Astromech. So you know, a bunch of regenning ships that can reposition and have mods all the time. It kind of feels like, does this feel like a first edition style list where like I'm gonna have mods and regen all the time? And
yeah, I mean that's what it feels like, 100%. And he played it. So that's, I think, I mean, I think a lot of people discounted CLT on Jedi, and CLT on Obi-Wan is just really good. Like, especially with the number of large base ships that are out there.
Sure.
It's easy to proc that. It frees up points elsewhere, and putting Sense on him was a very good call.
As well as the droid that allowed him to change his speeds on his turns and his banks so that he could line up Bullseye much better. Or block.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. One.
Block or arc dodge. Yeah. All of it.
So, yeah, so that's your winner, and you know, it's certainly a really, really good list, and it seems like that Republic has sort of gained prominence since the points adjustment, and it's certainly something to keep an eye out for.
I think a lot of it also is the fact that they got access to a pocket ace in Rick, so now when you have your two Jedi, you don't have to just bring two torrent blockers. Right, like you can bring that third ship that is a threat, and Rick just five forwarding, focus evade and regen is a decent threat because you don't want to send too much after him because he'll just run away and regen.
And you also saw a lot of Rick running alongside sinker swarms too.
So, oh yeah, which was also very good.
And sinker swarms were already very close to being like a top tier list.
Oh,
like,
I think it's one of the best lists out there. The four torrent sinker and then Rick, and then you've got a couple points to play with. Some people put regen on Rick, some people put like a hull upgrade on sinker, you know.
Yeah, I think that really does make the sinker swarm that like archetype. It does give it another, you know, degree of what's the word I'm looking for? It basically just gives it a tool that it didn't have before where, you know, you can fly Rick in a lot of different, you know, ways. Like, I mean, you're trying to go fast, but you can actually put him on the flank and it's something that people have to care about. You know, you don't get to just completely discount that he's out there. But it's another thing if you just want to chase him down and gun him down early, you pretty much just give your flank, you know, up to the entire sinker swarm, which is never a good idea. So it really is kind of an interesting combo that works really well with the points and how it all fits together. So that was my I think it was my second round game, and that was basically the list that he was playing. And if he didn't put one of his, or actually was it two, he basically put a couple of his torrents on rocks on the approach that kind of opened up some opportunities for me to sneak some damage in before everything got really crazy. Otherwise it would have been maybe a little bit different game. So definitely a list that's not to be taken lightly, and you're probably going to see it a lot, you know, in the next couple months.
So Blair Bunky, what do you think of the results of the top cut or the winning list?
Well, I think I'm going to be going on Kevin's show and we're going to be talking about this this game in particular, but I think Carson had a little help in his top 8 game to get there. So I think Regent, even at, what's it, at 6 points now, I still think on a, well, it's 6 on Obi. Oh, it's 6 on Anakin too.
Yeah, it's based on
agility, it's agility. Right? Gotcha.
Yeah.
Even at 6, it still seems pretty good.
Yeah,
like,
yep.
Because the disarm token often is just inconsequential because you're usually low and you're running away anyway. So, like, if I even go back to 1.0, if I had the choice between you have to do a blue or you can do anything and get a disarm token, I think a lot of time you'd take the disarm token to have your whole dial open. Yeah. So even at 6 and even limited to 2, I still think that's pretty good. And Jedi are in a good spot, but I wouldn't overreact too much. But it is not, I mean, I've told this to Tyler and he said disagree, but I think it's, I can't think of a time when the meta was more diverse than this, like ever. I really can't.
Sure. Oh, no, yeah. I think the meta is very diverse. I think Gen Con results are skewed into more diversity. That's all I was saying. Just because of the faction specific prizes. I do want to talk about one game that I wish was streamed. I wish so people could watch it because it was really an awesome game. But it was a like top 16 game, or was what effectively was the top 16, right? We had some buys in there. But it was Richard Hines versus Andrew Knuckles. So Andrew had the Sinker Swarm. So it was a Sinker, 4 Gold Squadrons, and Rick. And then Richard Hines had 5 Techno. Trade Federation drones with energy shells, grappling struts, a Techno Union bomber with plasma torps and Dark One probe droids, and then a Bactoid prototype with diamond boron missiles and landing struts. And it basically, the beginning of the game was, I want to say, Richard lost a vulture and like took some damage on one of the hyenas, and then Sinker died to like all the energy shells, right? But the second round was all of the torrents got range one shots into like 2 vultures, and they put all 4 range one shots into the same vulture and didn't kill it. Everyone was just like, rest in peace, Andrew. Like, you can't come back from this, right? And he clawed his way back through the game, like just consistently getting shots, getting the blocks, running the vultures off. And it basically came down to Rick. Him getting up on points and then Rick running away for like the last 5 minutes.
Cool.
But it was, I mean, it was one of those, it's a thematic, you know, you got some Jedi and some clone, or you got an N1 and some clone troopers fighting a bunch of vultures and hyenas. So that was a pretty fun game.
All right. So, y'all didn't make the last 2 days of Gen Con, last day.
Yeah. We didn't make Sunday.
Did you guys do anything else fun in Gen Con?
Yeah, we had to go. So everyone that didn't make Sunday had to go play in the Loop and Chewy North American Championship.
Oh, right. I think I saw the picture for this. How'd that go?
It went pretty well. I made it through the opening round, and then I got... So for those that don't know, Loop and Chewy is like a children's game. It's for like people that are 8. So every time we show up to this tournament with like 20 strong X-Wing players, there's always 2 or 3 families with their kids that are there. Their kids ranging from, you know, like 7 to 10 or whatnot. And they get really big eyes because they don't know why all these adults show up to play this kids game. Mind you, this is the 3rd year we've done this, and the guy who runs the tournament is the creator of Loop and Chewy.
Right.
So he is fully bought in, and so he comes up with other fancy stuff for us to have to deal with in the later stages of the game, or later stages of the tournament, right? So I make it all the way to the semifinals. I had to play Zach Bart, who was the Loop and Chewy champion 2 years ago, and got down big, and then was able to claw my way back and win that game. So I made it through to the finals, at which point the guy busts out like a completely never-before-seen mod for Loop and Chewy that he's now put up on the ThingWorks, so you can 3D print it yourself. Hey! Sorry, my dog's trying to pee inside.
Nice. I'm gonna assume that Tyler's muted.
Nope, I'm good. Wireless headset. But anyway, so yeah, I won the whole thing. So I am your North American Chewy champion, and I have a cool gold paddle to go along with it. There's a video on like one of the Facebook groups, and I'll post it later when Zach.
Congratulations! This is now like the greatest, your greatest accomplishment, man. I hope you feel proud. I'm super jealous because I'm not.
The best
one game of Loop and Chewy.
What would have been the best part about that day is basically when you're sitting down at the tables, the guy counts off, and basically. You know, counts one through five or one to six or whatever it is, right?
Tell her mute.
Yep. No, my headset gets out of range and unmutes itself when it comes back in.
Oh, well.
So anyway, like...
I'm not editing any of this out.
The way the second...
I had to sort of go through this UFT too. Sorry, Will.
That's not a problem. So the way the second round ended up and got paired up, there was like one less so that one of the tables, it was only like 1v1. And Tyler was the one who ended up and got the 1v1. He was one number away from having to 1v1 a small 6-year-old child.
Oh, no. I was supposed to 1v1 the 6-year-old, and she didn't get up and was like, no, I'm at table 2. And it's like, everyone knows she's not at table 2. She should be at table 4. But we're just kind of like, do we make the little kid get up and do that? Nope. And so then the other guy that like didn't have a seat was like, I'll just go play at the other one.
So regardless, we walked down that way to basically like watch Tyler have to 1v1 a small child, but he ended up with some other random guy. But
that's for the best.
It probably was, but it would have been hilarious.
Which hold on, turns like, out that small child was like one disc away from making it to the final four.
That's cool. All right. Anything else you guys want to talk about with Gen Con, or do we want to move on to? The Team USA stuff.
So we, if you've seen pictures and posts on Facebook, we got to we all went out for the quintessential like best part of X-Wing or whatever it is, where you go hang out with all the dudes. It was funny because like Coach from OCX had set up a Facebook group for like Coach's after party, basically.
Yeah.
Because he found a bar in Indy called Coach's what, Tavern?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it was? Something like that, right? It's Coach's something or other. And
he cut out. It's such a good story.
So then he's posting pictures of like, and tagging us on Facebook like, oh, nobody's here. Where's everybody at? Right? Like, and then like a bachelorette party comes through or something like that. So he has pictures with all these girls. He's like, oh, see, it's better now. So we finish up. So we all show up. So like 30 of us roughly, right, show up. There is one bartender in this bar. So we overloaded them a little bit. They had really great wings though, right, Will? Like those wings were really legit. Yeah, or I was just really hungry, but I'm pretty sure they were really good. And then Ryan Farmer is trying to like do some game design and had some ideas for a game, so we sat down and played some stuff with him.
Oh, cool. Yeah, he's been talking to me about that.
Yeah, it was actually pretty good. Like it has some strong bones.
Cool. Hopefully you can do that next Gen Con. Mm-hmm. All right, so we want to talk Team USA stuff.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
All right. So there is a worldwide team tournament happening. Very.
We talked
soon.
About this on the cast before, Ricky.
Yeah,
people
yeah, but
know what this is.
Yeah, but it's but just in case you don't know, in Poland there's a massive worldwide team tournament. It's mostly Europe, but still.
It's the European team tournament. I don't think anybody besides Europe, and then our team is coming.
Anyway, so this is happening what next weekend, right, Tyler?
So a week from yesterday, or no, I'm sorry, 2 weeks from yesterday. So it's like I fly out on Monday. So I fly out a week from Monday. The team tournament is Wednesday, Thursday. The European Grand Champion or the European Continental Championship is Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then we all fly back Monday.
Oh, cool.
So I really wanted the 1% chance of me winning Gen Con, which would have been the North American Championship. or Continental Championship, sure. and then winning Europe. So I could have been both the European and the American.
Yeah, the consolidated belt, man.
Yeah.
All right, so the team tournament's happening. They posted the lists up, and we want to talk about at least Team USA and what the thought was behind the list, Tyler, because, like, Blair told me not to get started on this because we have some notes. So, all right, so tell us about the lists that everyone's flying.
So should I tell you about, like, how we got to these lists and whatnot?
Sure.
Okay, cool. I'm in. So I got added to, like, the group chat of people that could potentially go to on this trip after I won Hoth, because apparently you had to win something. So I won Hoth. Or you had to – oh, I'll throw shade. Or you had to be Marcel. Mm-hmm. I guess he won Gen Con, like, what, 3 years ago? Something like that. So, like, I got cleared to go. We got the team settled, and then it was like, okay, what factions do you want to play? And I was like, I'm running Sense Vader for Empire. Like, they're like, yeah, but, like, what else? Just like, no, I'm running Sense Vader for Empire. I'm going to just punk everybody that brings aces, feed me the ace players, and we have easy wins. And they're like, okay. And then I was getting ready to get into, like, coach mode, kind of like with we did with Crate Cup, like, hey, we should, here are the other lists we should have for X, Y, and Z. And then everyone else kind of wanted to, we've kind of divvied out who was going to play where, and it became more of a, like, what do you feel better with? And then we tried to shift stuff around from there.
Right.
So Marcel has been on in this Rebel Alpha Strike list for a while. So it's a Wedge, Luke, and AP5 with Proton Torps.
Sure.
And it's been doing really well with it in the Chicago area. And I figure if you feed him aces, he's got a decent bid with it. And then he actually put Sense on Luke, which I think is a very good play, because then you get AP5 to coordinate setup, right?
Yeah. So if they outbid you, you can still
play it. If they outbid you, then they have to take a Proton Torp from Wedge ahead of time, right? So that's pretty rough. So those are the two anti ace tech lists. We've got a 4T70 list that is pretty solid. We'd looked at some other, like, Death Ray style lists for out of resistance, but the 4T70s gives us a good brawler list. And we have D is running a catch-all scum list that is just three good stuff scum ships. What is it? It's Caval, Old T, and Ketsu, right?
What is that? Okay, so your brawler list is like your Kamal list that you're just going to first
right,
and sacrifice
right.
So it to the gods?
It's not even a sacrifice. It's a list that doesn't have anything that's, like, worse than a 40% matchup, right? But it doesn't have great matchups. Like, it just goes and fights, right? So it's you put the onus on the player to do that, to do well. It's the same idea with the Tie Swarm, right? Like, Tie Swarm doesn't just get beat by things outside of, like, really obscure, like, double Punisher trajectory simulator list or something like that. Right? So other than silly stuff like that, you don't care. I can just set the Tie Swarm down and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And the other way is the way the pairing in the system works is one player is determined to be the first team by, like, combined total points bid, I believe. I was a little fuzzy on that because I don't care who first player is in this. So they set down one list. The second team in this sets down two lists, and the first team picks one of those two lists to be the actual matchup. And then the second team's second list is now their list that's set down, and team one puts two lists against that, and then you alternate back and forth.
Okay.
That makes sense.
So, basically, you're countering you have the potential to counter every single round, more or less, until the end.
Kind of, because, like, so we have, like, two anti ace tech lists, right? So if they put an ace list down, we can drop both our anti ace lists, and then the other one is going to get paired into something that's not anti ace tech, right?
Okay.
So it's when you decide to drop those lists in the pairing process to, like, okay, well, we're going to put these two lists down first to try to bait out, you know, some other stuff that, like, I don't want to, like, so with my sense list, I don't want to see a Tie Swarm. It's not that I can't fight it. It's just, I would have to play really well for it, kind of a deal. So if we can bait out the Tie Swarm or the Sinker Swarms ahead of time, and then I'm playing into either aces or like brawler lists, then those are much easier wins for me.
Right. All right. So I know we had some notes. Blair, what were your thoughts on the choices they made? Because I know, like, you and I were chatting about that a little bit.
The choice is who made?
And for Team USA.
Oh. Well, I don't know how to say this without, like, being mean, but who the hell is Ian Colombo? And why was he chosen?
Well, there was a bunch of people. No, I mean, there was a group of people, and it kind of came down to who actually could raise their hand and actually go to Poland.
Oh.
Yeah, so Ian was one of our alternates, and then Josh Holt had to back out because he had some stuff come up.
All right. Well, you definitely have done your fair share of trash talk about Europe, so don't want to put any additional pressure on you going into this or anything, you know, but there's kind of a lot of pressure on you going in, so I'll be interested to see how you all perform. Is this going to be streamed?
Yeah, Dion's going over. He's streaming.
Ah.
Like, plus I assume some of the different, like the First Earth and some of the other European streams will be up there and running.
Cool, cool.
Yeah.
All right. So, Blair, do you have a country other than the US that you liked?
I'm gonna go ahead and root for Scotland.
What did they run with? Like, generally, you don't have to give me every point, but
well, they got a 5-ship FO, all Mugga Squadron Experts, Fanatical, Optics, and then
that's a strong list. That's what Kayla was running at Gen Con and was doing well with.
And then they got a Patrol Leader with Death Trooper Sloan, Holograde 5 Academies, and then they have a double Jedi list. 172 points. And then Ray, Bastion, and Pava. And then L3 and Aldra, Torkoal, and Unkar. That's what the Scotties are bringing.
I like that. Will, who do you like?
He kind of took Scotland from me, but I was going to say...
What? Why would you pick Scotland?
Because
they're all so bad.
Because they've got Tony Stark. They've got Tony Stark
damn it.
Playing.
Sorry. My bad, Will. You called that earlier.
I did. I just was scrolling through the names, and I'm like, are you serious? Someone actually is named Tony Stark, and they're playing for Scotland? That's awesome. Iron Man's going for Scotland. No, like let me scroll up for a second. There's another shout out I want to give.
If you can pronounce all the names of Poland, I will give you $20.
Yeah, I don't think that's possible, unfortunately. Although I have played Lucas before. We played at Adepticon. It was a great game. So good luck, Lucas, and the rest of Team Poland. Let me see here.
I've got mine. If you're not ready,
I just found it. Team Hungary. I love the fact that there's two guys on their team or gals. I don't want to assume gender here, but
it's
one of them.
2019.
Yeah, one of them's just named Ball, and the other is Zoltan. And the best thing about Zoltan is I scroll to his list, and he's running 4 X-wings. So I guess I'm gonna have to go and root for Zoltan because that's one, an awesome name, and two, hey, he's running 4 X-wings. So
The team I like is Serbia because they have almost all the swarms. They've got the good TIE swarm, it looks like. No, they went insane. Come on, guys.
They're Serbian. They probably can't pronounce. They probably can't like actually listen to us.
Yeah, so close. But I like they have a TIE swarm.
They also only have one swarm tactics.
Yeah. They also have the Republic that has Obi-Wan, two 104th battalions in Rick, and then the Resistance is a bunch of A-wings and a blue squad, so that's cool. Or they're just a bunch of A-wings, right? And then the Rebel Alliance list is the only one that's like outside of the norm. Is Han and Wedge, you know, and then. Finally, their Separatist is a drone swarm. So
like that is something
that seems like completely up my alley. I like this.
Yeah. So that, I do want to throw this back to Gen Con real quick because the Rebel list that made top 14 Or was it Seth? Because it was Han. It was Han Wedge again. So Sean. But he actually was using Luke Gunner still, R2-D2, and then Saw Gerrera to keep bringing back. Like, so R2-D2 is bringing back the shield from Saw.
Right.
He's burning, right? So you're getting full mods without actions, effectively, because you've got the Han rerolls, and then you've got the Saw Gerrera everything to crits.
Right.
So that was cheeky. Like, I liked that.
Yeah, and he was flying, you know, pretty darn well positionally. To get into spots and get Han out of spots that there was some very, very tight where, I mean, if he's like, you know, a millimeter or two off the other way, he's blocked, he's stuck, Han's probably melted and burned, and he got him out and boosted out and kept circling around rocks and stuff that he flew well, you know, the whole day. And then he was just able to kind of use some bait and switch stuff between Han and Wedge a lot, and then take some damage with Wedge, regen back up, and, you know, I think there's some of his games he actually technically won with 200 points still on the board because he regened up, or they weren't able to get Han to half, shockingly. So, yeah.
All right, so we're looking forward to you taking home the belt or whatever the hell you want to take home for that tournament. But I hope that Serbia does well. I mean, anyways,
we're America. I'm pretty sure someone will make a belt, you know, for the team to wear. I mean, Tyler, do you want to talk about what you're like Americanizing on your list for the trip over there?
Oh, I'll post pictures when it's done, but we're gonna have my TIE fighters are gonna be like there'll be a TIE fighter that is red, a TIE fighter that is white, and a TIE fighter that is blue, but they will be very fancy, among other things.
That's funny. Is Luke doing that for you? Are you doing that yourself? All right.
Is that a real question? Come on now.
I mean, hey, like, maybe the goal was to make it funny and not good.
No. This is going to look amazing.
That's funny. All right. So we have a little bit of time. We posted that we were looking for questions for a Q&A a couple of weeks ago, and that didn't happen. And I'm going to take the L for that. I don't remember exactly what I was doing that Friday, but something came up. I don't know.
Ended up getting drunk that Friday, so it's fine. I think you got drunk too, because I'm pretty sure we sent some Snapchats of us drinking back and forth to each other.
Ah, okay. Well, that makes sense. Anyway, so we've got a bunch of questions that we've been asked, and I feel like we have the responsibility to answer them. So I'm going to give this out to all of you. We're going to basically each pick a question that a patron or listener asked us, and whether and that you want answered. So I don't know. I'll go ahead and start. We were asked by Zachary Johnson. At what point do you all decide that you've given up on a list that you think might be good on paper, but isn't performing to your expectations? Do you keep trying to see if it'll work, or like, basically, what is your criteria for dropping something?
That's a pretty good question, Ricky, I have to say.
Mm-hmm. That's why I picked it.
Oh,
yeah.
Touché.
Yeah.
I don't know, Ricky. Have you ever dropped your TIE Swarm? You haven't, have you?
No, hold up. Yeah, eventually I did. The first time I dropped it was with when the Phantoms came back. But since I've dropped stuff before, basically it's when something becomes popular enough in the meta that counters what I do, and you gotta pick something else. I don't know if there's a hard and fast rule, but that's I don't know why I'm answering this. I asked the question, Blair. How do you know?
We have literally the worst podcast to ask that to. Like, Will's still flying 4 X-wings and is just going to keep flying 4 X-wings. Blair does not give two craps about what the meta is. He's going to fly B-wings and some Redible like mass ships. And I flew Racklow for like 10 years, and then I switched to Tiger.
But the version though changes though. Like,
did it?
Sort of. I mean, so Blair, when do you know that like something you're trying out's not working?
Well, for 95% of X-Wing players, you know when to switch your list because it gets nerfed. but you know, I think usually by about the 4 or 5 game mark, you can usually understand that okay, this is just not happening. When I first was starting out with like Rebel Swarm, like I was like just getting crushed, but I knew it's because I was like playing like an idiot. So that it probably took me a good like 15 to 20 games to like to kind of start like getting like a basic concept of like what I was supposed to be doing. Because there was no book on like Rebel Swarm, right? Like sure. I had to like figure it all out on my own. So it was a long, arduous process, but eventually, like I knew I was playing like an idiot. I've had times where I've been playing lists, like when I like the 7Z, like I tried the cruise missile first and I was just like, you just can't do this. There's just no way. So usually you can have some idea after, usually I think most guys know after the first couple of games, but there's also times like when I had that list, it was like the Zs with the tracers and the Y-wings with the plasma torps. Like,
right.
I knew there was like, just like some way that like that was going to work. Like the low initiative alpha strike getting like, basically given the green light by the tracers. I knew like, on some level, like somewhere that had to work. Like I was trying out with like Imperial bombers first with long range scanners, and that it kind of like took a while for that light to finally come on. That it was like it was the tracers that I wanted, and then the auto blaster to sort of back it up if like I ran into an ace that couldn't hit it. So, and so once you find the list, then when I think. Really, that is the reality for most people. It's just once it gets nerfed, it's like, all right, well, can't fly that no more. But I think you make a good point is if what you're flying is popular enough, it starts to get countered. But it's interesting now with 2.0 because, you know, that might not necessarily be the case no more, and everything is so wide open.
Well, and not just that, is like that list might come back. That's the fun thing about second edition is that like that style list you've been flying might come around eventually, depending on how they do points adjustments.
Yeah, that is also true.
I mean, Tyler, to your point, you were running Sloan Swarms for a minute, like you and you stopped doing that. Like, why'd you stop doing that? I guess.
So I mean,
you
I
gave up on the list.
No,
I'm not asking Will this question.
Right. So I didn't necessarily give up on the list. I ran the Sloan Swarm because I thought it was fun and Coruscant was a meme format. So like I ran it there and then I've never ran it again.
All right. Will, instead of asking you this question, I'll let you ask the next question. What do you want answered?
What questions did you pick? I have given up on lists, but a lot of times it's like I play them a couple times and I'm very quick to realize, yeah, there's nothing here. Or I notice that there's something there, but I notice that what's missing is probably a card that doesn't exist. And I just patiently wait to see if something eventually either changes points or, you know, whatnot. So,
sure.
Yeah. So those are some things that I kind of do. And I still play around with a whole bunch of goofy shit just, you know, for fun, because that's what this game is about. But, anyways, on to the next question. So one of the things that I think has kind of been a little bit of a hot button issue for a while in X-Wing is the concept of, you know, stalling or, you know, basically fortressing in, you know, certain terms or uncertain terms now, thing.
You really put down the gauntlet, man. All right.
So basically the question is barrel rolling out of range 3 considered quote unquote stalling? I basically, I'm just going to start and basically put, well, it's all based on context, right? If you're literally trying to, like, you know, find and chase somebody down and set up an engagement, and they just, you know, they're skirting you or they're barrel rolling out of range three, that is definitely not quote unquote stalling. If they're basically cloaking and decloaking the phantoms back and forth along a board edge, they're essentially fortressing and kind of quote unquote stalling. You know, Tyler's well aware of how you can kind of do that. Really, there's a big difference between stalling and setting up an engagement that's kind of optimal for you, or delaying an engagement to when it's more optimal. So, for example, a lot of times, you know, as swarm players or low initiative ship players, you know, Blair, you know, Ricky, you know, Tyler, you've flown swarms. You're trying to make sure that you don't get in a situation where one of your ships can get picked off, isolated from the rest of your swarm, right?
For me, it's like I have to have the other player break first or joust me for me to know when it's my turn, like how I'm going to get to them. But that's the thing that I always find that's difficult is if I'm playing against somebody, I want to know what lanes they're taking. And if you're playing something low initiative, it's hard to, if you break first, like versus certain lists, you're like, you suddenly lose.
Right. And I guess that's part of it where it's like a lot of times the old school fortressing was literally like, I'm not moving until I see that you're forced to pick a lane or forced to break. Now, obviously they take that away. And so now it's a different manner of trying to find, okay, how can you kind of make sure that you've got options and openings, you know, to, you know, prevent yourself from getting, you know, behind the eight ball where they break after you have to pick a lane kind of thing.
Yeah. And then they get into the side pockets and
right. Exactly. Yeah. So the nature of this, what I wanted to point out and everyone's free to chime in is there's definitely, you know, tactical, you know, reasons why you should in a lot of cases be barrel rolling out of range three, because you know, in most situations you don't want to be taking shots. That's kind of part of the game is trying to avoid getting shot whenever possible while then getting, you know, your shots back in return. But if you're playing a list that's got low initiative pilots or a swarm or anything like that, you don't want to sit and have one or two of your ships getting shot, or they have shots when the bulk of your opponent's list gets to shoot back. That's the exact opposite of what you want to have happen. So barrel rolling out of range three so that you can then three hard or whatever it is the next turn to get into a much better engage, that's what you should be doing. And that's just good tactical play. So,
yeah, that's completely different than most of what people are talking about.
Yep, yeah, so...
I don't know if that's true.
Okay.
So one of the problems we're seeing is everyone wants a hard and fast rule, right? Like it's like, oh, there was a floor rule for this thing. And what is the difference between me taking four star Vipers? I'll use that specifically because that was part of the hotbed issue. And constantly like one banking and then using the curvy barrel, or one hard turning and then using the curvy barrel to like sit in place, and me using a like the Grand Inquisitor or Sunterfell and air quote engaging, but I've never actually been within range three of anybody. Like I will wait for you to like commit somewhere and then I'll dance away. Like if you try, you know what I mean? Like I do the one hard barrel roll boost, like it's the same thing. Like there's literally no difference. Like at the end of the day, right? Because if you don't engage, my aces don't actually engage either. So we're still sat in the same spot.
I think Blair was talking about this in a chat somewhere where plenty of times it looks like someone's engaging when they have no real intent to actually fight that engagement, yep. But to dodge it and come back later.
Hell, I mean, you see that.
I don't know, like, that wasn't exactly your take, Blair, but like, you had, like, I thought you made a really fun point about that. Do you want to reiterate it?
Man, you kind of remembered something I said, Rick. I'm so impressed, dude.
Blair, I get so much crap, but every time you type something and I see it, I think it's really smart.
I think it had something to do with Wave 1, right? Right, Blair?
I don't remember.
So,
yeah.
So let me pose this question to you all. So let's say I'm playing Tyler. I'm flying Rebel Swarm. I got three B-Wings, Y-Wing, and X-Wing. And I'm just kind of sitting in my corner, just chilling, not really doing anything. Let's say Tyler's got Vader, Vermeil, and Soontir, okay? He kind of stalls Vermeil and Vader, but then slowly starts to work towards his middle of the board, which is like his bottom middle, my top middle of the board. But let's say Soontir comes out with a 5 forward boost down like what would be my left side, my swarm's on the right side. And then on turn 2, Soontir 3 banks and then boosts again to where he's about range 3 3/4 of my swarm, okay? Which player is further along committed to that engagement than the other?
I'm asking. Well, yeah, I mean, it's not the Soontir player. He's not committed. Like,
okay, well,
the secret is Soontir is never committed, right? Like, unless you did something horribly wrong.
If the Rebel player hasn't done a whole lot of moving, and they haven't, you know, if they haven't broke from a spot yet, they haven't committed either. So, it's kind of hard to answer that question. I think that's probably the point you're trying to make.
Ricky? Are you there, Ricky?
Looks like he's muted himself.
Sorry, I cracked open a beer. I am of the opinion that at least you know the engagement lane that the low initiative list is taking, and that the high initiative list is theoretically not engaging at all. Or at least not. Okay, that's not fair.
Who is further committed to the engage? It's a simple yes or no question.
Yeah, I think the Rebels are.
It's an A or B.
A or B.
Yeah, I think.
Okay. Rebels. Neither player has committed shit to that engagement. Tyler, what move is that Soontir player dialing in? Are they dialing in that 4 forward and making a play on that swarm? Or are they dialing in a 1 left turn with a bailout plan of a barrel boost and I'm out of range of your swarm, even though the whole swarm turns into me as fast as it can go?
Yeah, every time.
They are dialing in a 1 left turn every single day of the week and twice on Sunday. There is no way that Soontir player is going after me and engaging. So none of us have committed to anything. So that is why I get a little worried when I hear people say, if you're sitting in your corner, you're going to get called on it. That is stalling. Because what might look like stalling for a Rebel player, like looking at that board state at a glance, it looks like that Imperial player is going for it. And it looks like the Rebel player, if a Marshal, not every Marshal, but some Marshals, they sit there, hey, get out of your corner, Rebel player. Your opponent's, he's trying to play the game. You go out there, you go engage him.
Yeah.
But that Imperial player is in no danger at all. He has not committed anything to that. It's just that he can reposition more quickly and get out, so it looks like he is. But in reality, no, neither player has committed anything. So that is my concern about this new whole ruling is situation. And I know, like, I'm not trying to make this like a swarm versus ace player thing, because I know there's so much divisiveness in the community as it is. And I know, like, every single game is not going to be ace versus slow jousters. But, like, tell me I'm wrong there. Like, there's no way that Imperial player is going for that.
The other thing that I hate about the whole concept is there's this idea that one group is, like, how I'm trying to think of. So if I'm playing Phantoms and you're playing not Phantoms, right, and you want me to engage, it's going, oh, well, but you're not engaging me. So, like, I'm not having fun, and this is a negative play experience and whatnot, and you need to engage in the way that I want to play, right? So it's I have to, like, do something that makes their list better, which seems, like, comically bad, right? Like, why should I have to do that?
Yeah, it's, like, it seems like the thought process that you have to be forced to fight each other seems like a fundamental issue with the game, because the rules themselves sometimes don't incentivize you to fly and fire shits. Yeah. Like fire shots, you know?
Yep. I agree.
No, and that's been the underlying problem with the game.
Intentional draws got taken away.
I'm glad this conversation is being had by like people in the community, not just like big name people, like the big name marshals. I'm glad this conversation is being had because I don't think this list can be considered. I don't think this game can be considered a real legitimate game until like this is like properly addressed. Because I'll tell you a story. I was playing a System Open one time and I got Fortress on, and like everyone around the guy was like giving him shit. But like I had more respect for him for doing that, because he at least was like open and honest about it. When the 20 dudes that I played in the past flying Imperial Aces just skirted the board edge and like never like put their aces in any danger at all and just waited for me to commit, like it's the same freaking thing. And that is like where my fear is with this, with marshals now being given the onus to say like, you got to go engage. So yeah. Like, I hope that like, and it's not going to be an easy, whatever it is, but I would like I would be open to anything that they come up with. Let's try it for just like one hyperspace season. I mean, they have to do something though, because yeah.
And that's actually why I brought that question up, because like obviously you guys took it immediately to the situations like we obviously just discussed, right? And I was looking at trying to kind of point out that from the exact side, when you're talking about having, you know, like a bunch of, you know, is it TIE fighters or, you know, whatever swarmy ships, if you're trying to find that way of keeping out of range 3 and then kind of pouncing, that's different than exactly what you guys were talking about, is stalling.
So, I see both sides of the coin. Like, I get it. Like, it's always been like, if you're an ace player, like, yeah, like I'm going to try to like drag you into the rocks. But if I'm a swarm player, I don't want to get dragged in the rocks. So I'm just going to sit back and be just try to be non-committal as well.
Isn't the joke rebel players are one forward to victory? I mean, like, we don't say that because there's not a reason for it.
But you can one forward onto a rock, Tyler.
I mean, you super can.
And still win.
All right. So let's see here. Blair, Tyler, do you guys have a question that you want you want answered, or that you want to share that from the listeners?
Sure, I'll answer a question. Heroic is not the reason Todd won. He should have he should have caused the one damage and won the game anyway.
You want to give some context?
Sure. So if you go watch my game on Gold Squadron, don't die. You'll see the end of the game that I lose on the last shot of the last round is when Todd's Poe takes a range one shot on my Soonter with a focus token. My Soonter has an evade token and one hit point or two hit points left, right? So if I get half pointed, I lose. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He shoots and rolls four blanks and triggers heroic and then does not roll four blanks. So had he rolled four blanks, I would have been fine. Or had he not had heroic, I would have won the game. But he had heroic.
Success.
Yeah. Yep. So, which my stance is still there, which is he had multiple range bullseye arc shots that had he had crack shot, he would have already been winning the game. So it doesn't matter.
All right. Cool. So heroic, right? Like I still think heroic's fine at a point. I like it at a point. I don't care anymore. It just feels good. It's like A-wings. I don't know. Blair, what question do you want us to answer?
Well, two different people asked, where's Lyle? Where is Theorist?
Well, Lyle was at Gen Con.
Yeah, I'm so jealous. Jealous. You got to see him.
No. Well, I don't know if Lyle's ever has. He hasn't played X-Wing at Gen Con for a while. He plays other games and goes out and has fun.
Yeah. I think we said this like a while ago, maybe not, but like Lyle like probably plays more X-Wing than like any of us, which is just crazy.
Yep.
Goes to League Night, man.
He goes to League Night, and he did a couple of hyperspace trials actually this year too, but I think he's just working a lot. And I think his League Night is on Cast Night as well as Kalen. So he's still around. Jeff, the question was, when are we going to bring Jeff back?
Whenever Jeff wants to come on.
Yeah.
Like, what people don't understand about people who have been on this podcast before, they can come on whenever. This isn't like something we plan. This is something like I say in a general chat, hey, who wants to come on? And people do. So Jeff can come on wherever he wants. Lyle, Mark, Greg, you know, Dr. Bob, any of them, you know.
And Bob just had a baby, so.
Yeah. I mean, but Bob's always posted in chat and stuff. It's just sometimes people can't make it on, but we'd love to have any of them back, really, of course, because they're all family, right?
Yep, 100%. And we've had those casts before where we have like 7 of us on.
Mm-hmm.
And we interview the devs, and then Blair Ridge quits halfway through.
I'd love to have Froggies back on, too, because Froggies was simultaneously a good player and like way too good a person for the rest of us. Like, oh my God, what a nice man. Anyways, so that's a good question. Does anybody have any other questions that they want to bring up? What time are we at? We got an hour and maybe 10 minutes or so. Do you want to do another round of questions, or do we want to talk about games we're playing right now?
So I got one we can touch on if no one else has anyone. So
sure. Sure.
So the other Will Hagwood, he's asking, uh-huh. you know, in general, like what swarms are, you know, just in general, people not exploring. And then I think there was another swarm question, you know, about some of the ones. Yeah, which one's the strongest? So I think in general, you know, like, you know, Blair, you could probably answer this better than anybody. Most of the people out there don't seem to be looking at, you know, like low initiative generic pilots in mass in a lot of situations. So unless you've got like the Howrunner, the Sinker, or Drea, those seem to be the kind of the exceptions to that rule, but no one really looks at like kind of like just massing generics. I flew 5 Kyrexes, like Tyler said. You know, 5 ships is kind of like that crossing point for swarm. I think the Kyrex fighter is being slept on an awful lot. So
Are we allowed to answer SF swarms? I'm going to steal Tyler's thunder here. Is that an acceptable answer?
I think it is.
Because those are good. Yeah, those are good.
Yeah, those are ones that I think we'll see more people flying. Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Blair?
What swarms aren't being explored?
Yeah. What ones do you think are good but not being explored?
I really don't know. I haven't been playing a whole lot.
I expected you to say Z95s. just for fun.
Well, he's explored them enough for everybody.
That.
So
I don't think they're better.
All right, so I have one that I do want to cover, just because. You know, just one Gen Con. And we did sort of touch on it. How concerned are you about force tokens and the force in general in second edition? Does every force, every competitive list need a force user? And what does that mean for factions with limited or no real force users? And that's Captain James T. Kirk in Discord today. I don't know who that is, but good question.
Well, I think everyone's becoming more and more aware, you know, force tokens is, you know, just in general. But do you absolutely need one in a competitive list? No, there's plenty of competitive lists out there that don't. But you are going to get a lot more of, you know, I guess an advantage. And Jedi lists obviously have force built in. But the force is definitely a good thing to be taking a long, hard look at, you know, I think pretty much for any faction that's got it. I mean, aside being the scum option there being maybe the exception. But I think all of the other faction force users, they're all pretty potent. You know, Luke had, you know, his time when Supernatural wasn't, you know, priced where it appropriately is now.
Still, Luke is really hard to kill.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Still hard to kill.
Yeah. Luke's issue right now is mostly just, you know, the Tetrising of the points around him is still a little bit of a challenge. But, But I think the Force is really good, but I don't think it's a be all end all. You need Force in your list to be competitive. So,
Tyler, are you running with a Force user? Do you think it's necessary, or how do you feel about the Force right now in the game?
Oh, so like I said earlier, like Force is really strong. It's really strong for two parts. It's not something that your opponent can take away from you in any way, right? So, like, it's a regenerating resource that you always have, no questions asked. As of right now, there's nothing that, like, there's no Karner Jacks in the game that stops you from using Force tokens, right? And in fact, like, you have blinded pilots and the like that you still get to use Force tokens against, right? That's kind of like the one-off. So Force is very strong. It mostly saw point reduction, which is kind of scary, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And that's the thing I keep thinking about is that the interesting thing about the health of second edition in general is that is only for this points quarter, right? Like the game could be completely different.
Yeah, well, so like it's important to know why Force is good. Yeah, so Force is good right now because almost all of the Force users are very defensive in nature, right? Like, so it just gives you that added defense. You always have that soft mod for when you're getting shot. And the high performance offense has been taken down a notch. So you don't have like the squad of legend with, you know, a red line proton torps and advanced sensors just punching you in the face. You don't have four jukes anymore that are just like ripping through stuff. Because like four jukes, I don't care if you're a Force user, right? I'm running you out of Force and then you die the next turn, right?
Right.
You don't see those kinds of things anymore. So now the stuff that really pressured a Force user that just are kind of gone. So that's why you saw, I mean, like that's Aether Sprites, even with only two agility, when they have three Force and they can sit deep range or behind a gas cloud. That's the other thing too, is gas clouds showed up. So like hitting a Force user behind a gas cloud is just like dumb.
Yeah, it's very difficult. And it's, what's the point? Like, it's a wasted shot.
Yeah, it's almost often, always a wasted shot.
Often a wasted shot, yeah. All right. So anybody else have any other questions they want to ask? I have one final one, I'm curious about.
I'll answer one of the questions. It's, what do you think the meta is going to be like at Gen Con? I think it's going to be Sense users and I think it's going to be Kylo Double Epsilon.
Rude. Okay.
That's on us. Only two out of the 14 were Sense and only one out of the 14 was Kylo Double Epsilon. Wrong.
Yeah. But three out of the top four, man, nailed it.
All right, so what is the best, Matt Nude asks, what's the best soundtrack to have playing while flying spaceships around the table?
It depends on which spaceships. Right? Like, I feel like that's almost a faction-specific question.
My personal opinion is you take the X-Wing versus TIE Fighter soundtrack and you just play that and it'll be fine. I think that you can't do anything with words in it or...
That's not true. Because like when I'm flying Vader Soontar or, you know, like Double Ace or like Kylo, something like that, there's basically just Highway to the Danger Zone playing in the background the entire time.
I don't know if I could concentrate, honestly. I probably could.
You can. That. Well, so like the real answer is if I actually was listening to music, I would listen to like Monster Cats stuff, which is like video game dance music, basically. That's mostly that doesn't have lyrics. So just.
But. I like sci-fi synthwave stuff too. It's cool. What's that? Yeah. What's that, Will?
I was going to say anything from like Two Steps from Hell, like it doesn't matter what you're doing. It makes it like the most epic thing ever. So like you could be brushing your teeth to Two Steps from Hell and it sounds like you're going on like some epic quest. So that would be another option for people to look into.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and start wrapping a bow on this thing. Does anybody have any shout-outs they want to give before we do this?
Good luck, Tyler and friends. Don't disappoint us all. Make us replace you next year.
I mean, to be fair, I'm pretty sure I get replaced next year because I'm not going to go to Poland in back-to-back years. But
we believe in you, Tyler. Anybody else have any shout-outs they want to give?
Oh, yeah, I mean, shout out to Carson from Radio TCX. Good job at Gen Con, man. Took it home.
Well done. Absolutely.
Oh, I'm probably going to be on Kevin Lyons' Echo Base. We'll be watching, I believe, his game against Mr. Doyle top 8 at Gen Con. I don't know when exactly, but
Kevin's been hitting me up for Aces League content, so that's probably going to start rolling up soon.
So I don't know if I will be on it or not, because it depends on D&D night and volleyball schedule, but I know on Tuesday, so this should be released before Tuesday, Gold Squadron is going to be going over lists for the European team tournament. So cool. You want to hear more thoughts on like what lists are going to get paired to what, people will be talking there.
Go right Zoltan, on. Go.
All right, so for Blair Bunky, better known as Scruffy, for Tyler Dippett, better known as Starslinger 72, and for Will Barnacle, better known as Misspelled Will Barnacle, I've been your host, Richard White. Kelvin Tiberius, thank you, Galactic Calinet, and good hunting. Woo! We made it.
We did it, boys.
We made it.
What's up?
I can't believe it. Get out of here, Frank. Get out of here.